Assalamu alaikum, can I be heard? الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is another lesson that we're having بإذن الله تعالى from or reading from the Book of Knowledge from the Sahih of Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. And bi-idhnillah, this will be the last lesson that we will have in this chapter. And we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for giving us the tawfiq to reach the end. Wa billahi tawfiq. Last week's lesson, we mentioned the hadith of the portion of the chapter, باب من ترك بعد الاختيار مخافة أن يقصر فهم بعض الناس عنه فيقعوا في أشد منه. The chapter of leaving off some knowledge out of fear that the people would fall into that which is worse. We mentioned the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was discussing the affair with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he said, "Ya Aisha, lawla qawmuki hadithun ahduhum bikufrin lanaqattu al-ka'bata faj'altu laha babain, babun yadkhulu an-nasu wa babun yakhrujun." And we mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, "If your people had not recently entered into Islam, I would have demolished the Kaaba, and I would have built it with two doors, a door that the people would enter and a door that the people would leave." And we mentioned the fawaid related to that hadith. And that is, from amongst those fawaid, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left off things at times. He did not do certain things which were not obligatory. Which were not obligatory for the purpose of bringing, or for the purpose of not allowing fitna to be caused. For the purpose of avoiding fitna. And this hadith, or from the fawaid of this hadith, is the qa'idah, dar' al-mafsada muqaddamun ala jalb al-masalih. The qa'idah, or the principle, which is mentioned by the fuqaha, the scholars of fiqh, they say, and understand, the scholars of fiqh, before I go into their statement, the scholars of fiqh, they derive those qawaid al-usuliyyah. They derive those fiqh principles based on proofs from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. Based on proofs from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. So this qa'idah that the ulama derive from this hadith is دَرْءُ الْمَفْسَدَ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى جَلْبِ الْمَصَالِحِ. Is preventing harm takes precedence over bringing about good. Preventing harm takes precedence over bringing about good. Another proof for that from the Quran is where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "ولا تسبون الذين يدعون غير الله فيسبون الله عدوا بغير علم." Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentioned, "And do not curse." ولا تسبوا الذين يدعون غير الله فَيَسُبُّونَ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Allah says, "And do not curse those who supplicate other than Allah." And because of your action, they curse Allah without knowledge. So in that verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, in that verse, our Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala has forbade that the Muslim curses those who call on other than Allah. And the mushrikun, Allah has forbade that we curse them. And the asl is that we are allowed to do so. The origin is that we are allowed to do so. Those who call on other than Allah, Allah has made la'an upon them in the Quran. Even Allah mentioned that Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam, they make la'an upon the people. They make la'an upon the people because they did not make inkar of the munkar. Because they did not make inkar, they did not stop that which was evil. So Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to make la'an upon the people. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in several ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned about cursing the disbelievers, the mushrikun. But Allah Azza wa Jalla in that verse that we mentioned, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Do not curse those who supplicate to other than Allah. Because if they hear you doing so, if they hear you doing so, they would begin to curse Allah Azza wa Jalla because of ignorance. Because of ignorance. So there we have that preventing and avoiding evil and harm takes precedence to bringing about good. Takes precedence to bringing about good. Naam. And that is taken from that verse, and that is also taken from this hadith. And basically the hadith is related to the chapter or the title. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ left certain things, certain actions, which were considered actions of obedience. The Prophet ﷺ left it off. Why? To prevent the harm. To prevent the harm. To prevent the evil taking place. Now, you also, going into the next hadith, and that shows you another benefit, is that the teacher, from the benefits of this hadith, is that the teacher should look at the affairs, they should look at the level of the people who they are teaching. The people should look at the level of the people that they are teaching. Recently, last week, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Habibullah Ta'ala, a question was sent to him. And the wording was, "Ya Sheikh, I'm from the West and I give da'wah in a masjid. I'm from the West, I give da'wah in a masjid. And people who frequent that masjid are new individuals who newly converted to Islam. They are new, they newly converted to Islam. And while I'm teaching, at times I mention the names, while I'm teaching, at times I mention the names of individuals who have gone astray. Individuals who are in opposition to the Sunnah. Individuals who are in opposition to the Sunnah. They've gone astray in some sense. So I mentioned the names, the specific names of these individuals. Is it better that I continue to do so? This is the question that was presented to the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala. Is it better that I continue to do so, that I mention the specific names of individuals who are gone astray? Or should I avoid mentioning specific names because maybe these individuals who are new to Islam, maybe this would harm them in some sort of way? Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Habibullah Ta'ala, he responded, don't mention the names. The teacher, he should be cautious of what he says in front of the people. If you feel that that which is going to be said is going to harm the people, then you avoid doing so. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left off something which was recommended. And that was to build the Kaaba according to how it was built by his great-great-great-grandfather, who is the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam left it off. Why? Because of the state of the people he was teaching. Because of the state of the people he was teaching. So this shows you, from the greatest benefits of this hadith, is that the teacher, it is upon the teacher to consider the level of the student, consider the level of the student. Now, the following hadith: من خص بالعلم قوما دون قوم كراهية أن يفعل لا يفهموا. To prefer some people with knowledge and to exclude other people from knowledge out of fear that they will not understand. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى وقال علي. This is called تعليق. This is called like a comment. It's not معلق. It is not a hadith with a chain of narration, and it is not even a hadith. It is an athar. In terms of the istilahat, in terms of the terminologies that are used, this is called an athar because it is by a companion. It is not by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say they consider him to be the first young boy to enter into Islam. حدثوا الناس بما يعرفون أتحبون أن يكذب الله ورسوله. Speak to the people with that which they understand. Do you want them to accuse Allah and His Messenger of lying? This is the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali is explaining to us that you should teach the people according to their level. And you should teach them in stages. You should teach them according to their level. And you should teach them and... Naam, it shows you, the brothers on the board, it's showing you, to the best of my ability, it's showing you that hadith or the statement of Ali, it's in Arabic, but I don't see it in English. Naam. The statement of Ali on the whiteboard in front of us, we find it in Arabic, we don't see it in English, and it shows you deficiency of seeking knowledge by way of the e-books. Seeking knowledge by way of the e-books, it is upon the people to have the actual book in front of them. And there's no doubt, even sometimes you might have things that are missing in the book, but there's no doubt that the book is more accurate than that which is present in terms of e-books. Now, so Ali radiallahu anhu is explaining to us that we should teach the people in stages. We should teach the people in stages. Not that we immediately put upon them all of the knowledge, things that they can't comprehend and the likes, because they're going to say, this can't be true. It is possible that the people say, this can't be true. And the likes of that is, if you get an individual that enters into Islam today, after living a life of Christianity, and the likes, it's not correct that you sit down with that individual and you begin to explain to him about everything of the punishment of the grave and the description of the hellfire and about the jinn and the unseen. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, who the Allah said, you have in the Messenger of Allah the best example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach the people according to their level. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach the people according to their level. When he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Yemen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to tell the people about the Shahada and tell them about the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah. And tell the people about, if they believe in that, then tell the people about the Salat. Then tell them about the Zakat. And then tell them about the Hajj and tell them about Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ didn't tell Mu'adh to tell them about the punishment of the grave and to tell them about the jinn and to tell them about the angels and the likes of that. Although that is from our i'tiqad. Don't think that I'm saying that we don't teach the people the correct i'tiqad. What I'm saying is a new shahada. An individual that entered into Islam yesterday, it is not befitting that we sit down and we explain to him today about things, matters of the unseen, مثلاً, the angels and the jinn and the punishment of the grave. No. Because his level is not there. Explain to him about Allah. Explain to him about the importance of the tawheed, of the tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed al-uluhiyyah, the tawheed al-asma wa sifat. Explain to him those things. Don't start going into the affairs of the punishment of the grave. Don't start going into the affairs of the jinn and the likes of that. Those are things that we are not recommended to do. Why? Because, as Ali said, حَدِّثُ النَّاسِ بِمَا يَعْرِفُونَ. Teach the people that which they understand. Teach the people that which they understand. So this statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, it is similar to what we said, the hadith that preceded it, the hadith of Aisha, where we teach the people according to, nah, we teach the people according to their level. Naam. The next hadith. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا عبيد الله حدثنا عبيد الله بن موسى عن معروف بن خربوف عن أبي الطفيل عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه بذلك. يعني the same thing. يعني this is the إسناد. The إسناد for the statement of Ali is عن عبيد الله بن موسى عن معروف بن خربوف عن أبي الطفيل عن علي. And Ma'ruf, that individual, Ma'ruf, he is a tabi'i, he was a young tabi'i from Mecca. And in Sahih Bukhari, he only has one hadith. Ma'ruf bin Kharrabu, he only has one hadith in Sahih Bukhari, and this is the hadith, or this is the athar. Na'am. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا إسحاق بن إبراهيم قال حدثنا معاذ بن هشام قال حدثني أبي. Na'am, we have that Mu'adh ibn Hisham is taken from his father. Shows you how the Salaf were the first scholars for their children. قال حدثني أبي عن قتادة قال حدثنا قتادة ابن أبي دعامة. We've mentioned him in the past, one of the students of Anas. قال حدثنا أنس بن مالك. أنس بن مالك أبو حمزة, the young companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن المكثرين في الحديث, and he's from amongst those who have many hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعاذ رديفه على الرحل. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was riding a riding beast with معاذ. قال يا معاذ, يا معاذ بن جبل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called معاذ, أو معاذ. قال لبيك يا رسول الله وسعديك. He said, I answer your call, يا رسول الله, with happiness, with joy. قال يا معاذ قلت لبيك يا رسول الله وسعديك ثلاثا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called out to him three times. Shows you that the teacher, from the etiquette of a teacher, is that he should say something to gather the attention of the students. So you find this done by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا معاذ, and in other hadiths of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he grabbed the companion's hand and said, I will teach you the greatest ayat in the Quran. I will teach you the greatest surah in the Quran before we get out, before we leave the masjid. Likewise, another hadith from Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. O Mu'adh, I love you. So don't forget until the end of the hadith. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the sunnah of our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that he would begin the speech with something to gather the attention of the student. Shows you the eagerness of the teacher for the learner. The eagerness of the teacher for the learner. And even because of that, you had individuals from amongst the ulama, of those who, those of the past and those who we reached, to show you the extent of their eagerness and their love of the students and their want and desire for the students to benefit the maximum benefit. You had scholars that if they noticed that their students were sleeping, they would make them stand. The likes of Sheikh Uthaymeen. Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, if he noticed that the student was falling asleep, Sheikh Uthaymeen would make the student stand. Is it to harm the students? No. Is it to punish the student? No. Is it to embarrass the student? No. It is because I want the student, or he wanted the student, to receive the maximum benefit from the lesson. So that shows you the concern, the compassion of the teacher for the student, and we see that in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Mu'adh. This shows you the mercy of Allah, the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his concern for the students. Likewise, it shows you the etiquette of a student. Labbaik ya Rasulullah wa sa'adik. I answer your call. Like we say in Hajj, in the Talbiyah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Oh Allah, I'm answering your call. Mu'adh is doing this to the Prophet ﷺ. Oh, Ya Rasulullah, I'm answering your call and I'm happy to do so. I'm doing so with joy. And it shows you that the companions were patient in learning. Because the Prophet ﷺ is repeating the same thing. Ya Mu'adh, labbaik Ya Rasulullah. Ya Mu'adh, labbaik Ya Rasulullah. Ya Mu'adh, labbaik Ya Rasulullah. The companions did not become impatient with the Prophet ﷺ. Mu'adh didn't become upset and say, Ya Rasulullah, I answered you already. Ya Rasulullah, I answered you. No, he said, I answer your call with happiness. I answer your call with happiness. I answer your call with happiness. So it shows you how the student should be patient with the scholar. And indeed, we are in need of these etiquettes. Indeed, we are in tremendous need of these etiquettes. Patience with the scholars. You know, forbearance with the scholars. And why? Because we want their knowledge. We want their knowledge, and we know that they're doing it for our benefit. We know they don't want to admonish us. And if they did, they have every right to. But they don't want to belittle us. They don't want to cause us harm. No, they want good for us. They want us to benefit. They want us to benefit. So we as students, individuals who claim to be students, we have to learn to observe patience with our scholars, just as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed patience with him. Now, from Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, who said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm answering your call. I'm answering your call and I'm doing so with happiness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. There is not anyone who bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah with sincerity from their heart, except that Allah has forbidden the fire for them. Except that Allah has forbidden the fire for them. Mu'adh said, and this shows you the benefits of Tawheed. From the benefits of Tawheed is that the person who implements Tawheed with sincerity, fulfilling its rights and its conditions, this person will enter into the paradise. This person will enter into the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're going to mention some of the statements of the ulama in that regard. Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُ بِهِ النَّاسِ فَيَسْتَبْشِرُ. Should I not inform the people so that they are happy? It shows you from the niyyah of a student of knowledge is that he wants to benefit the people. So it shows you from the benefit of the intention of a student of knowledge is that he wants to benefit the people. But before that, as it was mentioned by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, رفع العلم عن نفسه وعن غيره. The student should intend that he first and foremost is the one to benefit, and others also. Now, in saying that, we want to make it clear, it doesn't mean that the student can't inform others until he himself has benefited. No. Although it is considered from foolishness, it is considered to be foolish that you enjoin the good upon others and you forget yourselves. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah has admonished the one who does so. Allah has said, do you order the people with good and you forget yourselves and you read the book? Don't you have intellect? So the reality is the person who should benefit first and foremost is you, the student of knowledge. The one who reads the Quran. The one who reads the Sunnah. And because of that, you have the ulama that wrote in that regard. As Madarin Khatib al-Baghdadi, Al-Jami' fi akhlaq al-Rawi wa adab al-Sama'. Fi akhlaq al-Rawi wa adab al-Sama'. The compilation of the character of the narrator and the etiquettes of the listener. That was by Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala. We've mentioned it last week or the week before. He died 463 Hijri. Likewise, you had the books of Imam al-Ajurri, Abu Bakr al-Ajurri. The books of Imam al-Ajurri, Akhlaq al-Ulama, the character of the scholars. Likewise, you had Akhlaq Hamalat al-Quran, the character of those who carry the Quran. Why did they mention this? Because the person who should benefit first and foremost is the student. The one who is seeking knowledge. The one who is seeking, the one who is seeking knowledge. But likewise, he should benefit the others as well. He should benefit the people as well. Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, as soon as he heard the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, shouldn't I go inform the people? So Mu'adh didn't keep it to himself, and he's selfish and stingy, wa'na'udhu billah, with the knowledge. No, he wants the people to be happy. He wants the people to be happy. Notice, Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُ بِهِ النَّاسَ فَيَسْتَبْشِرُوا. Should I not inform the people so that they are happy? Shows you from the etiquettes of a student is that he wants the people to be happy. He doesn't want to make the people sad. He doesn't want to make the people fear. No, he wants the people to be happy. He wants the people to be, you know, he wants them to be upon Tawheed. He wants them to be upon Sunnah. The way of a student is he wants the people to be upon Khair. He wants the people to be upon Khair. Allah mentioned that in the Quran. I can't remember the surah at this particular time, but there was an individual. I can't remember the surah at this particular time, but there was an individual who was calling his people to khayr. And I remember I heard this tafsir from Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Habib Allah Ta'ala. He was calling his people to khayr. He was calling them to obey the prophets. And he said, obey these people that are not asking you for money or wealth. Why don't we follow these people? And the prophets and the messengers. And then thereafter, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, قِيلَ ادْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Thereafter, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, قِيلَ ادْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Yani, and have to tasawwur, have an understanding. You have a man calling the people to worship Allah alone and to obey the prophets and the messengers. And then, immediately after, Allah says, it was sent to him into Jannah. It was sent to him into Jannah. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Habib Allah Ta'ala, he said, the reason why it was sent to him into Jannah because his people killed him. It's because his people killed him. He was calling the people to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they killed him. Thereafter, the following verse says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. The next verse, he said that it was said to him, enter into Jannah. And then he immediately said, I wish my people could see that which Allah has blessed me with. I wish my people can see that which Allah has blessed me with. وَجَعْلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعْلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ نعم. يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْرَفُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعْلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. I wish my people can see that my Lord has forgiven me and has blessed me. So keep it in mind. This man is calling the people to worship Allah alone and obey the prophets and the messengers. Then it is said to him, enter into Jannah. Why? Because they killed him. They killed him. He's calling to Tawheed, they killed him. Then, while he's in his grave, receiving the bliss of the grave, he says, I wish my people can see how my Lord has forgiven me and blessed me. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, see, even after they killed him, he still is concerned about his people. I wish my people can see that which I'm telling them is the truth. That's what Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Habib Allah Ta'ala, mentioned. See that even after they killed him, even after they harmed him and they killed him, they took his life, but he was still concerned about them. I wish they can just see I was speaking the truth. Allah has forgiven me. Allah has blessed me. So the way of the student is not selfish. The student doesn't want the people to be harmed. The student doesn't want to keep the knowledge for himself. The student is sincere for the people. The student is sincere for the people. And this is that which we benefited from some of the rules of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Habib Allah Ta'ala. And this is, we get it from this hadith. Mu'adh is, Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُ النَّاسِ أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُ بِهِ النَّاسِ فَيَسْتَبْشِرُوا. Should I not inform the people so that they can have joy? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِذَنْ يَتَّكِلُوا. No, because they would depend on it. They would depend on kalimat al-tawheed. And they would need actions. So this shows us the great importance of tawheed. The great importance of tawheed. And likewise, this shows us that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم always used to remind his companions of the merits of tawheed. He would always remind his companions of the merits of Tawheed. And likewise, it shows you
the benefits that we mentioned already, it shows you the compassion of the scholar, the compassion of the teacher, his compassion, his concern. And likewise, it shows you the etiquettes of a student and the patience that he has for his teacher. And likewise, it shows you the intention of the student. The intention of the student, and that is that he wants the people to benefit. That he wants the people to benefit. نعم. And وأخبر بها معاذ عند موته تأثما. And Mu'adh informed the people before his death because he didn't want, he feared concealing the knowledge. He feared concealing the knowledge. And the ulama, they mentioned in this regard, does this mean that if a person says the shahada sincerely from their heart, that they will enter into Jannah even if they don't do actions? The ulama mentioned, no, that is not a correct understanding. Some of them say that this was before, some of them say that this statement was said before the other obligations such as zakat and hajj and jihad and likes were legislated. And Hafidh ibn Hajar, he mentioned that this is not correct, because similar to this narration was said by Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah didn't take his shahada until the fourth year, or until 4 years before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it shows that that's not correct. But other statements of the ulama, one is that if a person says the shahada sincerely for his, from his heart, and then he dies thereafter, immediately, like in jihad, he dies. Okay, so he goes to Jannah without any reckoning. Or an individual who makes tawbah from their sins. An individual who makes tawbah from their sins, and they say the shahada sincerely, and then death comes to them. Like the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Whoever's last statement is لا إله إلا الله, he will enter into Jannah. So if your last statement is لا إله إلا الله, along with tawbah, you've made tawbah from all your sins, and then your last statement is لا إله إلا الله, now you will enter into Jannah بإذن الله تعالى. Other scholars said, no, what is meant is that Allah has forbidden the everlasting fire. You have the fire which the believers would exit from, and then you have the fire which the disbelievers will be in it forever. So that which Allah has forbade from him is the everlasting fire. This is another statement from the ulama. And others, they say, the reality is that the actions are a part of the statement and the i'tiqad from the heart. Meaning, if a person says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, sincerely from their heart, indeed they would act. Because we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna fil jasadi mudgha, إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله, وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله, على وهي القلب. Verily in the heart, in the body. Verily in the body is a piece of flesh. If that flesh is corrupt, the rest of the body will be corrupt, meaning the actions. And if that piece of flesh is pure, the rest of the body will be pure, and that is the heart. So whoever says the shahada sincerely from their heart, of course they would act. Because a part of the sincerity is that they act upon the conditions of the shahada. So with doing so, they would enter into Jannah. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا مسدد and you know he's Ibn Musarrah قال حدثنا معتمر قال سمعت أبي another see another benefit we have نعم we have and this حديث الزرباعي you have مسدد narrating from معتمر narrating from his father narrating from Anas bin Malik narrating from Anas but narrating from Anas bin Malik. But another benefit is we have this individual narrating from his father. We have this individual narrating from his father. It shows you how, and that's in this hadith, and that was in the hadith before, the hadith of Mu'adh bin Hisham, حدثني أبي, and that was in the hadith that came before Israel ibn Abi Yunus. We said that Israel ibn Abi Yunus, he is the grandson of Abi Ishaq. So he's narrating from his grandfather. So that shows you how the Salaf, they used to teach their children and their grandchildren. Now this hadith, Anas bin Malik, the same companion, Abu Hamza, قَالَ ذُكِرَ لِي It was mentioned to me. And we know that the companions, they used to seek knowledge from one another. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لمعاذ من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة. A similar
hadith.
A similar hadith to the hadith that came before.
نعم.
Continuing.
الحياء في العلم. Shyness in knowledge. وقال مجاهد. And Mujahid was a student of Ibn Abbas. لا يتعلم العلم مستحي ولا مستكبر.
The person who is shy does not gain knowledge. And the person who is prideful does not gain knowledge. The person who is shy, because if he's too shy, extremely shy, then this individual, he won't go to scholars and ask questions, and he won't sit in their lessons because he's too shy. And the mustakbir, the one who is prideful because he feels he knows everything. And we mentioned in the Twitter account a few days ago how Sheikh Rabi' Habibullah Ta'ala, in one of his lectures he gave years ago, he mentioned that you have some individuals, they think they're born with knowledge. They think that they are born with knowledge. So they don't seek knowledge from the scholars. And indeed, this person has deviated from the correct path. Indeed, this individual has deviated from the correct path. And Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that you benefit from those who are above you, you benefit from those who are on your level, and you benefit from those who are below you. You benefit from those who are above you, those who are on your level, and those who are below you. And indeed, we benefit from them. And I remember our Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz al-Aqil, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, and the interview is on YouTube as well, he mentioned that I benefit from my students more than they benefit from me. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, in an interview which took place about a year before he died, he said, I benefit from my students more than they benefit from me. Why? Because when you sit with your students and they ask you questions, you know, at times you forget things. But because of their questions, you review it and it allows you to remember. And that took place in the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by an individual who was praying one day. And that individual was reciting an ayah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forgotten. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Rahimallahu fulan. May Allah have mercy upon this person. Rahimallahu fulan. May Allah have mercy upon this person. And that's a benefit that you can say Rahimahullah to a person that's alive. The Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah have mercy. The Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah have mercy on this person. He reminded me of a verse that I had forgotten. He reminded me of a verse that I had forgotten. Mom, so yes, we benefit. So if you're a scholar, and many of the scholars, we know that. Yani, when we read books to them and we ask them questions, this is like muraja'a of their knowledge. This is them reviewing their knowledge. So they love it. But an individual who's mustakbir, an individual who's prideful, he doesn't benefit from anyone. He feels he knows everything. And indeed, that is one of the greatest calamities upon a student of knowledge. When pride and the love of status enters the heart of the individual, if it does not kill him, it indeed makes him sick. It indeed makes him sick.
وقالت عائشة نعم النساء نساء الأنصار لم يمنعهن الحياء أن يتفقحن في الدين.
Aisha is praising the Ansar. Aisha رضي الله عنها, she is praising the Ansar. She says they are wonderful women. They did not allow shyness to prevent them from becoming knowledgeable in the religion. Because the women from amongst the Ansar, they did not allow shyness. They would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask the Prophet questions that some would be shy to ask. And there's one that's going to come, and there's another one that, and this was also the woman from amongst the Muhajirin. Also from amongst the women of the Muhajirin, Nafirin. Anyway, I'll leave that example, but anyway, we have an example in the chapter itself. And the example that I was going to mention, because obviously this chapter is about shyness and it not preventing a person becoming knowledgeable. The men of Medina had a different way of having relations with their women. And the women of Mecca were only used to a particular way of having relations. You had women from amongst the people of Mecca The Muhajirat, when they migrated to Al-Madinah, they married men from Medina. The men from Medina were accustomed to a different way, a different manner of having relations. There were women from amongst the Muhajirats that when the men of Medina tried to do certain moves on them, those women went to, prevented them and went to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, the men of Medina are trying to have relations in a different manner that we're accustomed to. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse that your wives are a tilt for you. فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّ شِئْتُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily your wives are a tilt for you. Your wives are for you. So enter them in a manner that you please. Enter them in whichever manner that you please. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same thing. He said, but you have to avoid the, you have to avoid entering them from the back. You have to avoid entering them from the back, meaning the anus. Now, قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا محمد بن سلام قال أخبرنا أبو معاوية قال حدثنا هشام عن أبيه. نعم. See again. Again, Hisham is narrating from his father. عن زينب بنت سلمة عن سلمة قالت جاءت سليم. And سلمة, she's the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Zainab is her daughter. So Zainab is who? Zainab is the stepdaughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Zainab is the stepdaughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. عن زينب ابنت سلمة. Zainab is the stepdaughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, because we know that سلمة married the Prophet. We know that Salama married the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قالت جاءت سليم. سليم, she is the mother of who? She is the mother of Anas. Sulaim is the mother of Anas. And Anas ibn Malik, and we know Anas ibn Malik, we said he's Abu Hamza. Allahumma sta'an, Anas ibn Malik, his father Malik, when the Prophet, because they're from amongst the Ansar. Anas ibn Malik and his mother Sulaim, they're from amongst the Ansar. And we notice that we never hear mention of the father of Anas. Why? Because the father of Anas was from amongst the people of Medina who did not accept Islam. He was from amongst the people of Medina who did not accept Islam, Malik. And when the Prophet ﷺ came to Al-Medina, he fled. And he left Al-Medina and he went to Syria, and he died in Syria as a kafir. And he died in Syria as a kafir. Sulaim went on to marry Abu Talha. We know that Sulaim, she went on to marry Abu Talha. Sulaim came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن الله لا يستحي من الحق فهل على المرأة من غصن إذا احتلمت. Verily Allah is not shy from the truth. And that's a verse in the Quran. That's a verse from the Quran. والله لا يستحي من الحق. Verily Allah is not shy from the truth. That's in verse from the Quran. So she said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَهِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Does a woman have to make ghusl if she has a wet dream? قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِذَا رَأَتِ الْمَاء, if she sees wetness. فَغَطَّتْ سَلَمَة, تَعْنِي وَجْهَهَا. So سَلَمَة covered her face. Why? Out of shyness. سَلَمَة covered her face out of shyness. يعني the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا, she covered her face out of embarrassment. وقالت يا رسول الله وتحتلم المرأة. A woman can have a wet dream. قال نعم. قال نعم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, yet تربت يمينك. May your hands or may your right hand be filled with dust. فبما يشبهها ولدها. How can her son look like her? In another narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily, the likeness of the child comes out because of the person, the person who climaxes first. If the woman climaxes first during the relations, the child will look like her, and if the man climaxes first, the child would look like the man. So this hadith is showing us that there's no shyness when it comes to knowledge, although a person should have correct etiquettes. A person should have correct etiquettes. They should not say something which is indecent. They should not say something which is indecent. They should have etiquettes. If you have a question that can possibly people can have a bad opinion about you, the likes of that, maybe you should take the scholar to the side, send it up in a note or the likes of that. you shouldn't, you know, embarrass yourself with the likes of that, but there is no shyness in knowledge. There is no shyness in knowledge, but there is etiquettes. But there is etiquettes. You know, and مثلا, and notice the etiquettes. Notice the etiquettes. We're going to derive the etiquettes from the hadith. She said, Ya Rasulullah, is it upon a woman to make ghusl if she has a wet dream? She didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, I had a wet dream last night. And no, she didn't say that. So there's no shyness, but there is etiquette. A woman shouldn't get up and, you know, expose herself and the likes of that. No, she should ask the question in a general manner. She should ask the question in a general manner so she preserves her honor. So that she preserves her honor. And so that individuals with diseases in their hearts, they don't immediately think, oh, she does that. No. So the knowledge is sought. The shyness, there's no shyness, but etiquette should be observed. Now, حدثنا إسماعيل and we said Ibn Abi Uwais and he was the nephew of Anas, he was the nephew of Malik. حدثني مالك عن عبد الله بن دينار عن عبد الله بن عمر. This is also Ruba'i. This hadith is also Ruba'i. يعني he had إسماعيل on Malik and عبد الله بن دينار and عبد الله بن عمر. And the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم Ruba'i, يعني four people in the Islam. And the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن من الشجرة شجرة لا يسقط ورقها وهي مثل المسلم حدثوني بما هي حدثوني ما هي فوقع الناس في شجر البادية ووقع في نفسي أنها النخلة قال عبد الله فاستحييت فقال يا رسول الله أخبرونا بها فقال رسول الله هي النخلة قال عبد الله حدثت أبي بما وقع في نفسي فقال لأن تكون قلتها أحب إلي من أن يكون لي كذا وكذا. This hadith we did in the beginning. That Abdullah ibn Umar was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other companions, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this shows you, and you can refer back to the benefits that we mentioned from this hadith when we first began this chapter. But this shows you how the Prophet his manners of teaching. He's mentioning a question, but he's leaving off the answer so that the people can think about it. And verily, from the scholars of our time who took this methodology were the likes of Sheikh Uthaymeen and Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahumullah ta'ala. They were very diligent in teaching this way. And surprisingly, Sheikh Saad al-Fawzan has begun to do this as well. I don't recall, in the time that I've spent with Sheikh Saad al-Fawzan, that he used to do this in the past. But recently, Sheikh Saad al-Fawzan, Habib al-Aqa'a, has begun to ask questions and wait for the answer in the lesson. Has begun to ask questions and wait for the answer in the lesson. And this was the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, verily there's a tree whose leaves do not fall, and this is like the Muslim. Inform me, what is this tree? Abdullah bin Umar said, it immediately came to me, it is like the date palm. But I was shy. I've been shy, and his father informed me that you shouldn't have been shy. You should have said it. It was more beloved to me than this and that. Meaning, then, you know, it was the most beloved thing to me that my son knew the answer. And this shows you that the parents should encourage their children with knowledge. The parents should encourage their children with knowledge. And it is something that we have extreme joy. And the reality is, my brothers and sisters, Allah allowing your child to be a doctor or an engineer is not a sign that Allah is pleased with that individual. Because you have kufar. That a doctor is an engineer. Now I'm not saying that we shouldn't encourage our children to have good professions. No, we should. The Muslim Ummah is in need of this. But that which we should have more joy, that which we should have more joy for, is that our children are successful in Islam. That they memorize the Book of Allah. That they memorize the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That should be our most joy when it comes to rearing and raising our children. But unfortunately, and sad to say, many of us, when it comes to the Quran and Sunnah, we don't have tremendous joy. But if our children are excellent in science and chemistry and physics and the likes of that, we have tremendous joy. Notice how times change. Notice how times change. And we ask Allah to take us back to the way of the Salaf and having joy for their children when it comes to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In the next chapter, مَنْ اسْتَحْيَا فَأَمَرَ غَيْرَهُ بِالسَّوَادِ. And Imam Bukhari is bringing this to show you that if you are shy, you can still seek knowledge. Why? Whoever is shy, he informs others to ask the question. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا عبد الله بن داود عن الأعمش سليمان بن محران سليمان بن محران عن منذر الثوري عن منذر الثوري عن محمد ابن الحنفية he's the grandson or he's the son of Ali عن علي قال كنت رجلا مذاع علي بن أبي طالب he said I was a man مذاع يعني I had strong شهوة I had strong شهوة to the point where you can think of a woman or see a woman and you get this you know this pre-semen so Ali said كنت رجلا مذاع فأمرت المقداد أن يسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم and there's another narration يعني Ali said I was a man strong شهوة I think of a woman, or I see of a woman, or I have a thought, and I get this priest up. So instead of me approaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I ordered al-miqdad. Al-miqdad to ask the Prophet. Why? In another narration it says, لِمَكَانَتْ إِبْنَتِهِ مِنِّي Ali said, because I'm married to his daughter. Ali is married to who? Ali is married to Fatima. So Ali doesn't want to approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with something sexual, you know, because he's married to his daughter. He's married to his daughter. So he's having etiquette with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So instead of him asking directly, he asked someone to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it shows you, okay, Imam Bukhari is trying to teach us. So okay, if you have shyness, but still seek the knowledge. Still seek knowledge. If you fear, or if you're too shy and embarrassed to ask the scholar yourself, ask someone else to ask him. The knowledge needs to be sought by any means necessary. By any means necessary. Necessary. فسأله فقال فيه وضوء. So Miqdad asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the person has to make wudu. So if a man has a thought or sees a woman or is touched by a woman and likes it, and he has this pre-semen, which is not semen itself, because there's no ghusl, there's only ablution. Here the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said he has to make wudu. If the woman has it, or if the man has it. And likewise, there's another narration that says, he has to wash himself. Because this pre-stuff is considered najis. This pre-stuff is considered najis. So another narration, it says, he washes himself and he makes wudu. So we understand that if the person, whether the man or the woman, if they have this wetness due to sexual thoughts or the likes, and I don't mean... ejaculation. I don't mean that the person reaches climax. If you reach climax, then you have to make ghusl. If you reach climax, then you have to make ghusl. But if the person has this wetness due to thoughts and the likes of that, which is not at the level of climax, meaning they don't have the feeling of climax, but they just have this flowing of this liquid because of thoughts and the likes of that, then the person has to make wudu, and they have to clean their private part. And if that thing touched their underwears or the likes, then they have to clean that part. As well. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى باب and that hadith shows you that the student should have etiquette with the scholar. باب ذكر العلم والفتية في المسجد the mention of knowledge and verdicts in the masjid. قال حدثني قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثني ليث بن سعد and we've mentioned about ليث بن سعد in the past. قال حدثني نافع مولى عبد الله بن عمر بن الخطاب عن عبد الله بن عمر أن الرجل قام في المسجد فقال a man stood in the masjid فقال يا رسول الله من أين تأمرنا أن نحل يا رسول الله where do you order us to store فقال رسول الله يحل أهل المدينة من ذي الحليفة عفوا not slaughter to go into like إحرام to go into إحرام يحل أهل المدينة من ذي الحليفة that's their ميقات ويحل أهل الشام من الجح and the people come from north they go into ihram from juhf ويحل اهل النجد من قر and the people that are coming from Najd like Riyadh and the likes of that there's a place called qar وقال ابن عمر ويزعمون and the benefit of this hadith is that the man is standing in the masjid and he's asking the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the prophet is answering him in the masjid Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala used to talk about the barakat of the masjid indeed The asr is that we teach the people in the masjid. And we teach them wherever we can. If we can teach them in a house, we teach them in a house. But the barakah is in the masjid. But the barakah is in the masjid. And Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the barakah is that you teach the people in the masjid. وقال ابن عمر ويزعمون. And we also have in this hadith a Sahabi narrating from his father. We have a Sahabi narrating from his father. Abdullah bin Umar is narrating from his father, Umar. No, Afwan. We have a Tabi'i who is Nafi'. Afwan. It's not Abdullah bin Umar narrating from his father. We have a Tabi'i narrating from his teacher who is Ibn Umar. And Nafi', he was the free slave of Ibn Umar. See, we even have a slave narrating from his owner. نعم.
قال ابن عمر ويزعمون أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ويحل أهل اليمن من يلمنم. وكان ابن عمر يقول لم أفقه هذه من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And ابن عمر said that some people say that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the people of Yemen, they make Umrah or they go into Ihram from Yalamlam. But I did not hear this from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it is true. It is true. There are narrations that come in the book of Hajj that the people of Medina, they make it from Dhul Hulayfa. The people of Sham or North, they make it from Juhfa. The people of Najd, yani the people that come from East, they make it from Qarn. And the people of Yemen, they make it from Yalamlam. This was actually mentioned by other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Umar is just saying, I did not hear that from the Prophet. And he's being honest. And it shows you honesty and knowledge. He did not deny it. He's saying, but I did not hear that or understand that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I do not remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying such a statement. No. And it shows you the accuracy and knowledge. He's not denying it. But he's saying, I did not remember the Prophet saying that. صلى الله عليه وسلم. The next one, باب من أجاب السائل بأكثر مما سأل. The person who answers the student with more than that which he asked. حدثنا آدم قال حدثنا ابن أبي بكر. This isnad was mentioned previously. عن نافع عن ابن عمر. نافع the same one. نافع مولى عبد الله بن عمر. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعن الزهري عن سالم عن ابن عمر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أن رجلا سأله ما يلبس المحرم فقال يعني لا يلبس يعني the person said the person asked what does the محرم wear. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the محرم does not wear this. He does not wear a shirt. He does not wear a turban. He does not wear trousers and he does not wear a head cloak. He does not wear the head cloak. Nor does he wear a thobe. Nor does he wear that which has been touched with saffron or perfume. And if the person does not find sandals, then he can wear the leather socks. But he should cut them so that they are below the ankles. So the Prophet didn't say he should wear this. No, he said he shouldn't wear this, and he shouldn't wear that, and he shouldn't wear this, and he shouldn't wear that. And if he has to wear this, then he should do this and he should do that. So the Prophet ﷺ is answering with more than the individual has asked. And that shows you the diligence of the teacher in benefiting the student with the knowledge. And it shows you how the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ being patient and answering the companions. Likewise, it shows you how diligent the companions were in wanting to know two things. Not this hadith, but in general. They wanted to know with regards to Tawheed, and they wanted to know exactly how to worship Allah. And that's a benefit for us. We should not be the type of individual that say, it's easy, we're Muslims, we pray, that's what's beneficial. You know, that's what's important, we pray. No, we want to pray how the Prophet prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to make hajj how the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made hajj. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, صلوا كما رأيتم أن أصلي. Pray as you see me pray. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خذوا عني مناسككم. Take the pilgrimage from me. Take it from me. Do it according to how I have performed it. So that shows you the way of our beloved companions, or the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in being diligent and making sure their actions of worship were only for Allah, and two, in accordance with the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With that, we have come to the end of the Book of Knowledge from Sahih Bukhari, and by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, we have finished this chapter, and indeed it was very beneficial. Indeed it was the type of chapter that an individual can study over and over again. And may Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, for this wonderful book. For this wonderful book. And indeed, if a Muslim wants to gain knowledge and be firm, then it is upon a person to grab Sahih Bukhari along with his explanations, from amongst them Fathul Bari, which is the best, by Imam, or by Ibn Hajar, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, and also from the recently printed, as we mentioned, from the recently printed explanations is At-Tawdih, the Sharh Al-Jam' Al-Sahih by Imam Ibn Mulaqqin, rahimahullah ta'ala, who came before Ibn Hajar, and indeed his explanation was also very, very tremendous. And, you know, indeed, you know, like the Salaf used to say, if you want to know the fiqh of Imam al-Bukhari, then read his book, read his chapter titles. So we benefited greatly from this book, and this is something which we encourage our brothers and sisters to take advantage of. It's not sufficient that we buy Sahih al-Bukhari in English, buy Sahih Muslim in English, and we put them on our shelves, and we beautify our homes with these books. No, these books need to be opened up. We need to open up these books. We need to read the books of the Sunnah. We need to read the books of the Sunnah. Imam, you know, the scholars of the past, the scholars of the present, that's what they used to do. They used to read these books. The books of Hadith, the books of Sunnah, the books of I'tiqad, and the books of Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. These are tremendous. And this is our foundation. This is our religion. This is our religion, to read these books, open up these books, benefit from these books, memorize these books. You know, so, you know, spending time with these books is something tremendous. You know, and it was something that the Salaf were upon. Even individuals came to the Salaf and said, aren't you alone? You just read books, aren't you alone? And the individual would say, how can I be alone when I'm with the Prophet ﷺ and his companions? Meaning the books of Hadith, how can I be alone? And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala said, I lost many friends because of this knowledge. So the reality is, this is our life, this is our religion. Our religion is the Kitab and the Sunnah. So how can we say that we are truly upon the book and the Sunnah, and we put all of the books of Hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, and Dar es Salaam is now printing Muslim Imam Ahmed. We put all of these books on our shelves, and we don't open them up. And wallahi, if you want understanding of your religion, it is upon you to open up these books. Read the books, read Sahih Bukhari, read Sahih Muslim, read Abu Dawud, read Tirmidhi. And go onto the internet, and go onto the website of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Habibullah Alam. And he gives the explanation of these books day after day. 15 years, he finished Sahih Bukhari, he finished Sahih Muslim, he finished Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, and now he started Abu Dawud, now he started Sahih Bukhari from the beginning now. And now he's in Sahih Muslim. 15 years he's been teaching these books of Sunnah. And now Allah has made it easy for you to go onto his website and to follow the live broadcast of these books. Likewise, Sheikh Muhammad bin Adam al-Ethiopi. Sheikh Muhammad bin Adam al-Ethiopi in Mecca, teaching these books, teaching the books of Hadith. Sheikh Mukhtar rahimahullah ta'ala said about Sheikh Muhammad bin Adam al-Ethiopi, when he read his explanation of al-Nisa'i, which is more than 20 volumes, Sheikh Mukhtar said, I don't know a scholar today that can write a book like this man has written this book. Sheikh Muhammad bin Adam al-Ethiopi, he wrote a present day sharh of An-Nisa'i, like no other sharh written before. And it's over 20 volumes. And presently he's writing a sharh of Sahih Muslim. It has reached 33 volumes, and it is not complete yet. It's going to be at least another 15 volumes before it's complete. It's going to be the biggest explanation of Sahih Muslim, Sheikh Muhammad bin Adam in Ethiopia, in Mecca. So yeah, Ikhwan, oh my brothers, oh my sisters, we have the ulama alive. And they're benefiting us. They're teaching us the books. And the books are being printed in English and Arabic and the likes. The books are being printed. When are we going to wake up and take this knowledge before it is removed from us by the removal of the scholars? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْزُوا الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاءً مِنْ صُدُورِ الرِّجَالِ. Allah will not take away the knowledge by removing it from the chest of the men, but Allah will take away the knowledge by the passing away of the scholars. By the passing away of the scholars, indeed it is upon us to take this knowledge before it is removed. So I advise my brothers and sisters to buy Sahih Bukhari, buy Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, and the Muslim Imam Ahmed, along with the books of I'tiqad, and sit down and day after day and page after page and understand and learn your religion. And before that, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you tawfiq. For verily is the tawfiq from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is that which we have to offer. We're going to stop now, بإذن الله تعالى. If anyone has any questions on any of the lessons, then they can contact the brothers from Islam AE, and they will take the questions and forward them to me, and inshallah, we will keep in touch. بإذن الله تعالى, after about a month, we will start a new book and a new lesson, inshallah ta'ala, and we will announce that in the near future. After about 3 weeks, بإذن الله تعالى, Allah knows best, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.